You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Brian Leung's novel Take Me Home is set in the wild, desolate Wyoming Territory in the late 1880s when Chinese workers and other immigrants moved to the area to work in the mines. It traces the story of a young woman who befriends a Chinese man, a relationship the community forbids. The book is Mr. Leung's second novel. It's published by Harper, and I'm very pleased that it has brought him to our show today. Hello.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you.
Your protagonist, Addie, comes from Kentucky to join her brother in Wyoming. What's he doing there?
He's homesteading. There was a big movement out there. Wyoming is a territory at that point, and he unfortunately picks the worst piece of land he can to homestead.
Because he doesn't understand? He doesn't know?
He doesn't realize when he takes up the land that it's not valuable for farming. You know, it's an entirely different landscape. He just assumes land is land, and he gets out there, which forces him into the coal mines.
And Addie's incredibly naive when she arrives. What kind of world did she find in Rock Springs, Wyoming?
To Wyoming, by the time she gets up there, she is convinced that she is about to meet half human, half animals, and those turn out to be the Chinese. In fact, and she has no sense when these people are being described that they could be anything other than animals.
Weren't most of the women in those mining towns prostitutes?
In my research, first of all, there were very, very few women, and
of any sort,
and the homesteading women, which were the majority of them, obviously were not prostitutes. Mm-hmm. At the time in 1885, Rock Springs and then the little town I'm describing, Dyer, are small enough that there's not a huge, you know, prostitution.
Well, you focus on the landscape of Wyoming. You were raised in San Diego and Los Angeles, and now you live in Kentucky. How did you wind up writing about Wyoming?
When I was 14, my mother sent me on a trip to Rock Springs to visit relatives, and that was my first exposure. I was there for a month, and then just by coincidence, when I was teaching at the University of Cincinnati, I was doing some online research, and this event of the riot and Chinese massacre came up, and because I had that family connection, and the event itself spoke personally to me because I'm half Chinese, I investigated it further, and even if it was for myself, I knew I had to do research, even if no book came out of it.
How did the Chinese wind up working in the mines in Wyoming?
Well, as you know, there was the first big push of immigration was into the San Francisco, working on the railroads and that kind of work. And then when the railroads when that work ended and they were complete, all that labor had to go somewhere. And the UP, the Union Pacific Railroad, had a convenient pool of labor to use for working in the coal mines, in addition to, by the way, the white immigrant miners who were from Finland. They were Tyrolean, Italian, British.
So these Chinese railroad workers who probably had no experience working in the mines were brought in to these mining communities. Would the Finnish people have been miners in the past? Because often the immigrant miners who worked in this country had been from mining areas back in the old world.
Two things to respond to that question. One is, yes, that the white immigrant miners tended to come from mining families. The Chinese may not have had direct mining experience in terms of coal mining, but if you think about the railroads and all the blasting and those kind of things that had to happen, they proved themselves to be willing to do any kind of dangerous labor.
So did these two different groups get along?
sadly, no. And it was pretty immediate. And part of the tension came out of the fact that capital, in this case the Union Pacific Railroad, supplied the Chinese miners with a lot more than they did the white immigrant miners. So they had special accommodations, which weren't that great, but actual wood cabins. Whereas some of the white immigrant miners were actually burrowing into the sides of Bitter Creek and basically living in dirt caves.
So they were resenting these people at the same time calling them coolies.
Yes. Well, the Chinese also were being paid less than the white immigrant miners. And, you know, it's a lot like the conflict in Arizona today, actually.
So how did Addie prevent herself? Why wasn't she prejudiced by all the warnings against the Chinese? Was she an independent thinker?
Addie accepts the narrative at first. But I think, well, there's two things that happen. One thing I wanted to do in the novel is show how Addie has to recalibrate her sense of beauty. So she comes from a very lush place like Kentucky, which is very green, verdant. And then she ends up in Wyoming, which is just the opposite. And she has to be open to this new place. And I think when she sees Chinese faces for the first time, the descriptions have been so extreme that she can't do anything other but question the narrative that she's received.
Wing Li is a cook. He's not a miner.
That's correct. Although he does have the capability, he hides his strength.
Mm. And she develops a relationship with this man.
She does. At first, she wants to have a business relationship with him. She decides that because her brother's homesteading is not going to work out so well, she needs to help provide. And so she decides to have a business where she'll sell game to the Chinese and to the white miners. And she enlists his help because she needs somebody as kind of a go-between between herself and the Chinese camp.
And how does her brother react to this business arrangement?
Her brother all along wants her to have nothing to do with the Chinese, but knows that she's kind of independent-minded and she's going to do it. But he does try to set her up with one of the Finnish miners.
And she gets married to a Finn named Muk.
Yes, Atso Mukkonen, who's her Tommy's partner in the mine, in the mines. She does reluctantly do that because she's trying to honor a request of her brother, really.
And of course, that marriage is not a success.
It can't be, no, and it eventually is what drives her out of Wyoming.
My guest is Brian Leung, whose latest novel is Take Me Home. It is published by Harper's. Are there many accounts of the Chinese experience in mining towns on the frontier?
I think in this last year, and don't quiz me on the titles, but in this last year, I think there have been four books of nonfiction in which some aspect of the Chinese in the West have been published, and I believe another book of fiction earlier in the year. So I'm not sure what it is about this moment in time. Maybe it's because of our recent political fascination with, you know, dark, mysterious China, you know, and our debt to China, that maybe that's all coming up now, but yes.
Well, what happened to these miners? They didn't stay in Wyoming. Did they go back to China, or did they just wind up resettling in the cities?
Well, after this particular set of miners, actually, after the massacre that happened, the riot and the massacre, the UP Railroad managed to bring those miners back and did, in fact, have the Chinese working in the mines. The government sent in the military to keep the peace, and they did work there. And it, as a matter of fact, into the 1920s, there were still Chinese in that community, some of whom in their 80s and 90s finally went home to China.
What sparked the riot?
Well, that's a matter of debate, but I think the consensus is on both sides that some sort of fight broke out inside one of the mines. Whether it was the Chinese starting the fight or the white miners starting the fight, no one can really know. But it boiled out into the town, and there was two waves of disagreement. First wave was very, very calm. Not very, very calm, I'm sorry, was basically, you Chinese better get out. The second wave is the one where they started shooting, stabbing, burning Chinese alive.
The Chinese Exclusion Act was passed in 1882, just before the riot that you write about took place. I guess it was a strong anti-Chinese feeling all around the country.
That's right. And it's fascinating because you have that act in 1882, but 3 years later, you still have all this Chinese labor. And what makes that possible? Well, it was because at the time, government kind of looked the other way and let big companies like the UP use Chinese labor. When this event in Wyoming happens, however, I have to say in Rock Springs, it is the flashpoint for a lot of similar violence toward the Chinese in the West and in the Pacific Northwest.
Now, Addie, at least in the book, has become something of a legend. Is this based on a real person?
It is not. And I was very protective of the history because I did not want to I wanted to respect the actual history. And in order to do that, I felt like I needed to create a town that sits near Rock Springs. And in doing that, then I was able to create Addie as a fictional character.
And as you point out, suddenly there are any number of books about the Chinese in the West. Why do you think we haven't known much about this history other than that many Chinese immigrants worked on building the railroads?
I think that we have successfully for a long time converted the Chinese culturally into a very kind of, especially Chinese men, feminized, passive appearing stereotype, math loving stereotype. And the reemergence of China as a country of strength, I think, has started to fascinate a lot of writers. And of course, when you attach that to all the mythology of the American West, I think there's some very compelling stories that can come out of that.
I want to thank you so much for being on our show today, Brian Leung. His novel, Take Me Home, is published by Harper's.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.